Peak session number 10648, rule 7.
George Peak, Reel 7. So, what about this period when you'd moved down to the Esky lines, when you found the corpses in the trench? What else were you doing at that time?
Well, we were doing nothing at all in Esky lines, doing nothing. Just whiling away the time, that was all. Until, of course, the troops had got off. We were there to stop any intrusion then of the Turkish troops. But eventually we found ourselves going, being taken away to lighters at dead of night.
What beach did you go off from?
I have no idea. I don't know what beach it was. All I know is it was night. It was night time, quite dark.
Did you have to take any special precautions to be quiet?
No. Everybody was told they had to be quiet, and there wasn't a noise. There was no noise at all. I don't remember any anyway. I was taken to these lighters, to a lighter, and I remember the boat going along, and as we went along, we came to the Majestic, you know, the warship.
You mentioned it, yes.
Upside down. And I'd seen that firing over the cliffs and hitting the village of Krithia, El Krithia. Anyway, we passed there and we went along to, what's the name?
Lemnos,
we went to Lemnos. And we were there with the 29th Division.
How did you feel about leaving Gallipoli? You'd left a lot of your friends there. Were you upset to go? Did you think you should have carried on, or what did you feel?
Well, I just felt like you ordinarily feel. I mean, I had no emotions or anything like that, except that I'd got no pals. They'd all gone. Every one of my pals had gone. And I wondered, of course, about them. Wondered quite a lot about leaving them. But I couldn't do anything about it, and I had to carry on just the very same with the other men, you see. But when we got on the...
What was the spirit like? What was the spirit like? You said you mainly knew your company and section. What was morale like after you'd left?
The spirit of the men? Oh, they were all right. They're mostly new men, you know. Oh, they were all right. They were all new pals together, you see. But I didn't part with any of them like I did with the old ones. And another chap who must have been the same boat as me, he belonged to the 29th Division, to the 5th Royal Scots. He had a kilt, one of the kilties. And him and I pound together on Lemnos.
What were you doing there?
Just having a good rest.
Did you manage to de-louse? De-louse.
We weren't de-louse, as I know of, no. The only thing we could do was to take our travelling shirts off and kill them ourselves.
Same as before, then?
As before, yes. There was no machine to do it with, you know, hot iron or anything like that. Perhaps somebody, but we didn't. And the fifth reserve Scotchman lad, he was... Yeah, I think it was a shell, but it's so near to his back that it scorched his back. It was a mark right down his back. He'd lucky escape.
So, how long were you at Lemnos?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. We were on for a tidy while. A week or two, we don't know how long, really. We were moved then to Egypt, of course. And what's the name of the place? Kantara.
El Kantara.
I think we went then to El Kantara. Of course, we went to Alexandria first, and then on the way to Kantara, we were entrained, and we must have gone to right away to El Kantara. Now, when we first got to El Kantara, there was a big barge there with a chain running over the top of it and under the bottom of the canal. You had to pull this chain, and it pulled the barge across. It was quite a big barge. You could get to a good many horses on it and all that. Anyway, that's how we got on El Cantara. And from there, we began to engage the Turks and drive them back. And the Australians were there. And I think there was a cavalry unit of ours called the Duke of Devonshire's Own, I think it was. Cavalry unit, you know, with the short rifles. And they had a sword. The Australians had no sword. They had the bayonet fixed on a carbine. And when they charged, the Turks, they held the rifle as if it was a sword, you know, with the bayonet in front of them. And they walked past to do his hours.
What do you remember of the fighting in Sarnia? Do you remember any of the actual incidents?
Incidents?
Yes. Can you take us through what happened to you during the campaign?
No, I can't. I don't know. We didn't get up with them very much because they were going away so fast we couldn't catch up to them. We had laying down wire roads.
You were doing that, were you?
No, we were marching up the wire road, but some of the engineers were doing that. We were laying up wire roads. And we were going along these wire roads. But there were some Turkish aeroplanes coming over, and they were dropping bombs on the column as they went along. I know they bought one drum right on the and they split the cavalcade, and they split the camels, split two camels up in the air. They dropped them over the side, picked them up and got them out. And I went past. We had no guns, you know, no machine guns, only two old Maxims. And eventually, while we were there, we got some Lewis guns came up. And we had to have instruction on these. And of course, when we got instruction on them, we could. We had them mounted on young ponies, machine gun at one side and ammunition on the other, while the camels carried the water tanks. You know, we had camels there, and they had a tank, like a suitcase, like a big suitcase, on either side, containing water. And we had the horses, small horses, to carry the guns for us over the desert.
See, this was for patrols in the desert, was it? Yeah. Was this for patrolling?
Oh, no, this was for marching after the Turks. When we finished shooting, we could put them on the instead of carrying them, see.
So you were part of a Lewis gun team at this time? You were put on
the Lewis was, gun. Yes. You see, before we got the Lewis guns, we had to learn all about them. So I was sent to Heliopolis. You know Heliopolis? About 7 miles outside of Cairo, I think. Somewhere about that. 7 or 8. And I was sent there. And while I was there, we used to get a trip to the Cairo, you know. And I'll tell you this, I don't suppose many people will believe it. It was while on one of these trips on my own. I shouldn't have been on Cairo on my own, but I was. And I was walking along Cairo near Kazan Mill. That was the barracks where the 10th LF were. And I thought a Jippo was following me, an Egyptian Arab. And I just dropped behind, went down the street, and I thought I'd peep down the corner to see if he was still coming. And as I peeped down the corner, a hand came on my shoulder, on this shoulder there. And it pulled me back, and I looked round, it was an Arab. I thought, a well-to-do Arab. He'd dressed all in brown, trousers on, long wide sleeves. And he said, I'm a British officer. So I thought, by his tone, he sounded like a university man, you know. I said, ah, yeah. He said, yes, it's quite true. He said, I'm a bit, and I, anyway, he said, I'm ordering you to come with me. And he took me with him. And he went in the Turkish Quarter. Well, I didn't know, I had no idea where we were going. And then I found out, soon enough, that we went down a street with an entry. I think the street was only as wide from there to here. And the doors were opening and they're coming out with a knife, long knives. I thought, oh my God. It was only me and him, and he walked in front of me. Never budged, never turned round hardly. He says, keep going. So I went so far, then they came round with a knife. So I had my bayonet on, I whipped my bayonet out, put it in the other hand, and went round and it. And when they did that, they ran away. And there was a door opening on the right. And it was just opening, I went towards it with my bayonet out. And he banged the door too quick, like a pistol shot. It went too quick. And I came back to the left officer, you know. And then gradually, one or two more came down with the knives, and I kept this, pulling this bayonet, sticking it back and pulling it out. And eventually, they let us through. They didn't do any more. And we got away. But it was very nasty while we were there. And I think I've seen a photo since. It was what was he called?
Lawrence.
I'm positive it was Lawrence.
From seeing a photograph, you recognise his features?
I recognised him right away. Well, I didn't recognise his face properly. I recognised his height and his clothing. And it was a coloured photograph. It was brown. Exactly as I'd seen him. Exactly. That was the man who took me round.
And what was he actually doing in the Turkish Quarter?
I don't know what he was doing. I've no idea.
He just walked through it? Did you see him stop or talk to anyone or
no,
do anything?
No, didn't stop. He slowly walked through. Only slow, he walked through. We were at war with Turkey, you see, then.
And you were just acting as a bodyguard?
As a bodyguard.
But you didn't see him do anything other than walk
through? Oh, no, I didn't know whether he was armed or what he was. It was only me armed, and I only had my bayonet.
And none of the people who that were threatening you, about how many were there, do you think? Or was it they coming in?
Oh, I should think there must have been around about 50. Somewhere about that, they're coming out of the doors. You know, they're all armed with a dagger.
But none of them actually attacked you?
No, none of them actually attacked me, no. When I pulled my bayonet out, they seemed to run back. Now, that bayonet is mine, but the blade was about that long.
About 18 inches.
It wasn't a shortly Enfield. And it was pointed, you know. And each round, it was sharp as a razor on both sides. If I'd done that with anybody, I could have cut the toes. Anyway.
Did he speak to you at all? You say he had a university-type accent. Or did he just have an officer's... Could you distinguish between a university accent and an officer's accent?
No, I couldn't distinguish it, really. I don't know, no.
You could just tell it was an upper-class officer.
It could have been the television officer. He spoke perfect English, let me say. He didn't speak Lancashire like we speak it. And I thought, well, he must be an officer. Anyway, he took me out and I was lost. Where they let me go, and I lost the year. He put me on a bus going back, you know, going back to Heliopolis.
So what did you think of all this? Because that's pretty unusual, an officer dressed as an Arab walking through the Turkish quarter. What did you make of it at the time? Because you didn't know it was Lawrence.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't tell anybody. I never bothered telling anybody. It was just an incident in being there, you know. You meet incidents like that. Other incidents I wouldn't tell you. not with this here.
So, and that happened in 1916?
That was in 1916.
Not the previous time. That was when you were training at Heliopolis that happened.
That happened, yes. That's right. I was there for a fortnight.
What was your training at Heliopolis? Were you training machine guns or just in the Lewis?
We was training for the Lewis gun.
And how did they go
Nothing
about
else.
That? How did they go about that?
Well, we had teachers who were used to it, telling us all about how many rounds it would fire per minute, you know, and how fast it would fire, and how to carry on with it if it stopped, what to do if it stopped, like putting the cooking handle back and all that, and how to change the barrel quick. You can't have a spare barrel with you, see. And that was all. We had to teach the troops when we got back.
Did you get any actual firing practice?
Oh yes, we had firing practice for it. Yes, oh yes.
What did you think of the Lewis as a gun?
Well, I wouldn't like to risk my life on it. Insure my life on it because it had too many stoppages. I don't know. They have these rifles today. And the quick-firing rifles, well, the bullet, it's either the bullet or the powder that does it. The bullet goes out through the rifling so quick that it's bound to stir it, get it red hot. See, I know that from firing on Gallipoli. Because when I fired the shot, say, about 32 or something rounds ammunition, the barrel was red hot. You see, we had the Lee Metford rifle, and there was only one part of the Lee Metford rifle that was covered, the tube, you know.
The barrel, yeah.
The barrel. There was only one part, and that was called the point of balance. If you had to use your bayonet, after all those rounds, you'd burn your hand if you touched the barrel. You'd hold the stock or the woodwork of it at the point of balance. You'd know how you could hold it. So when we'd finished our course at Heliopolis, we were taken back to the unit and we taught the men.
And were you promoted at this time to a Lance Corporal?
Lance Corporal.
You were promoted. You were promoted then to Lance Corporal?
Oh, I was promoted to Lance Corporal before that.
What did that involve, being Lance Corporal? What extra duties did you have?
Well, almost like a sergeant. There wasn't much difference. I had a right motley crowd under me. Mostly jailbirds. But they do what I told them. Because they used to shoot them those days, you know. Well, with cowardice they used to shoot them. There wasn't much difference. You gave an order to a chap, he had to do it, that's all. If he didn't, you could deport him. Just the very same as a corporal or a lance corporal.
You say they were
a sergeant.
You say they were a motley crew. Did you get on well with them?
Oh, very well. Very well indeed.
But you said they were mostly jailbirds. Were they not men of good characteristics?
That's true. That's true. Wasn't one of them of good character at all. I know one or two of them. One of my pals there was Johnny Lyons. He came through. He must have been wounded before, but he came back. He became the cruiserweight champion of the North when he came back. You know, boxing champion. And you've heard of Billy Marchant, have you? Never heard of Billy Marchant. Oh.
Who was he?
He was the boxing champion of the North. the boxing champion, and his sparring partner was in our mob. We didn't know a lot, you know.
So you were, while you were in the Sinai, when you rejoined, do you remember, did you actually come into contact with the Turks, your battalion?
My battalion? When?
Did you come into contact with the Turks, your battalion, in Sinai? Did you actually?
Oh, in Sinai. Not properly, no. No.
Were there any skirmishes you can remember?
Skirmishes, that's right.
Do you remember any of them?
No. I know we got to a place called El Arish, is it?
Could have been.
El Arish, I think it was. And I think that's where there's a... I could get mixed up in these. Where the water is.
Oasis.
An oasis, yes. And our colonel, the colonel we had then, well, the colonel was killed, regrettably. The colonel then jumped off his horse and took the rifle and bayonet off one of the chaps and stood guard over the well.
Why was that?
So that nobody would go and work the well and take the water. It might have been poison, see. And there were so many with water bottles, it was so very, very hot. I know my water bottle was hot. But it was still water in it.
Did you do any patrolling in the desert?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I was sent on one particular troll. We had to go and find the Manchesters. And I think it was the 8th Manchesters that was camped 5 miles away. And an officer came to our tent and he said, we had a tent then. He said, any of you understand the stars? And nobody did, only me. I said, I do. Could you point me out the North Star? I said, yes, easily. Because the stars are plentiful then, you know. So I showed him which one it was. He said, that's right. How did you know it? Well, I said, I've studied them a bit. So he said, right. He said, Corporal Hughes. I wasn't a lance corporal then. That was before I went to machine gun. He said, Corporal Hughes and Corporal Gwilliam, I think it was. Come along, they'll go with you. I want you to take a message to the colonel of the Manchesters. It's 5 miles away, direct north. Can you find it? So he said, yes. So, of course, we went and we found this place and we had tea and all that. Well, coming back, it'd be different thing altogether with the North Star behind you. As we were coming back, I told them to spread out 50 yards at either side of me and we'd find the tent with a chance. And they did so. And then the fellow on my left, he said, Look over there, and right there was a ridge with the moon behind it, the moon shining over the ridge, and in the darkness there was 9 Turks running as low as they could to keep below the skyline. And I said, right, we're always loaded up, you know, our rifles were loaded. I said, you better fix your bayonets. So we fixed our bayonets. And we dropped in a straight line, behind, facing them. Well, we could have peppered them, you know, because they got in a bunch, the Turks. They mustn't have been used to fighting properly, but they got in a bunch, you see, all together. Well, one or two triggers from us, you know, it would upset them, really. But we didn't fight. We thought we'll only give our position away. We were warned there's 200 Turkish cavalry looking out for any stragglers or whether they can find anybody. So I thought if we fire on them, you know, and the sound of the shots would bring the cavalry over here. So we didn't fire, we just kept our quiet. And all of a sudden, the Turks jumped up and they scurried over the top of the hill and they were away, all 9 of them. So we carried on and got back to our own, we found our own quarters quite all right. And that was one little incident.
Do you remember any other patrols or incidents like that?
No. Not to know of.
Were you short of water? You mentioned the colonel guard. No. Did you get enough water?
Never short of water.
And what about the rations? Were they the same as they had been at Gallipoli? Mainly bully beef and such, or did you get anything else? Were the rations, your food, did you get much the same as you had at Gallipoli?
Oh, yes. Very same, yes. We didn't have much in Gallipoli, but we had plenty of food there of the desert. Plenty.
Was there any variety, or was it still all bully beef, mainly bully beef? Was there much variety, or was it still mainly bully beef?
Oh, there was variety, but I can't think what it was. There must have been variety. It wasn't always bully beef. I forget, but it called bully beef was the last resort, I think. But I don't know what it was. Biscuits, they're dog biscuits, you know. There's plenty of them. And occasionally we had a loaf.
So pretty much the same. Pretty much the same type of food as you'd have.
Yes.
But just more of it. I'm surprised you weren't short of water.
No, we weren't short of water. We carried water with us. I don't know where they got the water from, but we never boiled it. We just drank it out of the well. It was never boiled, like you boil water when you go to Spain or somewhere like that. We never boiled, we just drank it. It was all right. I remember our quartermaster of our company. He sat down on his backside and he said, give us a drink. He drank all his water and never saved a drop, but nobody gave him the drink. Of course, he was not very far from the well then. I passed one place where we were marching toward the Turks, and I don't know who'd done it, whether the Turks had done it or what, but I counted 40 camels all dead. 40 camels in a low, like a little valley there, of sand, all dead, they were all dead, all been knocked out.
Anything else you remember about Sinai? Because you went from Sinai over to France, didn't you? Anything else you can remember before we leave? Did you find it easier soldiering than you had Gallipoli? I mean, was it an easier life?
Oh, much easier life from Gallipoli. Oh, rather. Because on Gallipoli, you got the frogs croaking all night and the smell of the dead. And the butter and the flies and the lice and all that. Oh, it's terrible, really terrible.
So this was, in comparison, much better.
Oh, much better.
Did you have any problem with the sun?
No, it wasn't
too hot for you then.
No, we got fresh helmets.
Pith helmets.
We were in shorts, and them very cottony tunic, you know. We've been like re-equipped, must have been, because I know I'd thrown my pith helmet away and scrapped it.
And you got rid of your lice by now, had you? Or did you have lice while you were in Sinai?
No, I can't think we did. I don't remember it.
So they had gone? Got cleaned up
for them? We got cleaned up. We even had shower baths in Sinai.
What were they like? Can you describe them?
Champion.
How did they work?
I don't know how they worked. I only know that when you switched on, they were there all right, coming on, because it was nice and warm at night there. You know, there was a nice warm wind blowing. It was always warm. I've seen the time when I've gone in there, pull my trousers off, everything off, and let the water drip on them, you know, from the shower bath, and didn't need any rubbing. Bring them home, spread them on the sand, and in the morning you could put them on quite dry, all dried up.